Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse, all while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
I am here, Mr. Welch, and thank you. Today, the title of this episode is Man in the Above Picture. And the picture can be seen on my page, Lawmaster's page. You can get there by clicking www.blogtalkradio.com/Lawmaster. And all of that is one word. Man in the above picture. The man in the picture. All right. I'd like to start this off with a question concerning the man in the picture. The question comes from Isaiah 40, verse 14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? That is the question concerning the man in the picture. We'll now go to the book of Revelation. And we have another question, Revelation 5:2. The question says, who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to open the book? And the book talked about here, or mentioned, is Book of the Law of God, the AVB, Authorized Version Bible. Who is worthy to open the AVB? Well, it gives an answer, Revelation 5:5. The answer says, no man has prevailed to open the book. We know that no man in the AVB is a reference to God. It is I call it a nickname that the scriptural writers have given to the man in the picture. The nickname is found throughout the content of the AVB. No man has prevailed to open the book. Luke 24:32. And I will read that scripture later. Let's move on to Revelation 5:9. Looks like we're dealing with the book of Revelation here. Revelation 5:9. This is a statement. The first Lord, all caps, has made to God. It says, thou art worthy to take the book. Again, the book mentioned is the AVB. I have taken the AVB, scrutinized its contents, analyzed its content, organized its content, and put its content, its crucial matter, in an understandable, cohesive manner whereby people can look at my information and get the intended understanding of the crucial matter of the AVB. Thou art worthy to take the book. And we know that throughout Bible content. The first Lord, all caps, speaks to me throughout Bible content. Again, in Revelation 4:11, the first Lord, all caps, says to me, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Revelation 6:4. Just six words in that verse. Revelation 6:4 says, and power was given to him. Power was given to him. The him mentioned there is a reference there, speaks of God. Power was given to him. God, and again, it's about the man in the picture. Power was given to him. First of all, power was given to him to take the book, to open the book, and reveal its contents. Deuteronomy 31:26. Deuteronomy 31:26 says this. Take this book of the law. The first Lord, all caps, says to me, take this book of the law. Take this book, the AVB. So, the first Lord, all caps, has handed over the crucial matter of the AVB to the man in the picture. The commandment says, and this commandment comes in the book of Mark 12, I believe. Mark 12 says this: render to God the things that are God's. So, in keeping with the commandment and carrying out the commandment, the first Lord, all caps, has rendered the crucial matter of the AVB to the man in the picture on my page. All right? And that's Mark 12:17. Render to God the things that are God's. The first Lord, all caps, has rendered his word, the crucial matter of it, AVB, to me, the man in the picture. So, 2 Kings 20, verse 9. 2 Kings 20, verse 9 says, the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. So thus far, the Lord has done the thing, or a thing, that he has spoken. He has said, render the things of God to God. Therefore, the first Lord, all caps, has rendered the crucial matter of the AVB to me. The first Lord, all caps, has rendered the crucial matter of the AVB to the man in the picture. So, in that regard, the first Lord has done the thing that he has spoken. Lamentations 2:17. Lamentations 2:17. The Lord, and this is speaking of the first Lord, has done that which he had devised or planned. He hath fulfilled his word that he had commanded in the days of old. And again, this is in reference to rendering the crucial matter of the AVB to the man in the picture. Okay. Now, there are things, as you know, those of you who have followed this program, that the people are supposed to do. In the AVB, crucial matter of the AVB, there are things the man in the picture is to do, and there are things the people are to do. Luke 3:10-14. Luke chapter 3, verses 10, 12, 14. Okay, Luke chapter 3, verse 10, the question, what shall we do then? Verse 12, Luke 3, Master, what shall we do? And verse 14, what shall we do? So, the question is clear. What shall the people do? We go to 2 Kings 23, verse 24. The people Well, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 words in answer to the question concerning the people. What shall they do? What shall we do? They should perform the words of the law. The people should perform the words of the law of God. And again, those of you who have been following this program, you have heard mention of the things that the people should do. The people have a responsibility to do. They are to follow God. The Gentiles are to follow God as obedient servants. The people are to worship God. The scripture says, worship God. Have faith in God. The scripture says, those are just a couple of the things the people should do. The people have a responsibility to do. All right? Deuteronomy 16:20. Reading the law. That's what we are doing, reading the law. These things are part of the law of God. Deuteronomy 16:20. That, what shall we do, the question asks, that which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. The law of God, mentioned in Romans chapter 7. We have a statement there. We just read, that which is just, altogether just, shalt thou follow. Roman, what is that which is altogether just? We have an answer to that in Romans 7, verse 12. Wherefore, the law, and it's speaking about the law of God, the law concerning God, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Follow, the people should follow the law of God. And verse 16 says, the last statement in verse 16, Romans chapter 7, verse 16, I consent to the law that it is good. The law of God, he says, I consent to it that it is good. What shall we do? What shall the people do? 1 Kings 18:21. Here. If the Lord be God, in answer to the question, what shall the people do? If the Lord be God, follow him. Okay. Then let's go to Psalm 118. And see if the Lord is God. Psalm 118, verse 27 says, God is the Lord. Which Lord? Which hath showed us light. The man in the picture shows the people light. The light of Scripture, the light of the law of God. Now, if the Lord be God, follow him. God is the Lord, and if God is the Lord, then the Lord is God. God is the Lord, follow him. The Lord is God, follow him. The law of God, coming from the book of the law, coming from the law of God. Now, before we get into this thing about the man in the picture, Mr. Welch, let's have the announcements, please.
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Okay. Before we went into the break, in order to hear the announcements, the question was asked, what shall we the people do? And I ended with the statement, with the commandment, if the Lord be God, follow him. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Okay, and the question which precedes that, another question which precedes that, is found in Joshua 5:14. Joshua 5:14 is the last statement, which is a question in Joshua 5:14. Last statement of the verse. It says, what saith my Lord to his servant? And that is what the Lord has said to his servant. Follow God. Follow the Lord, which has showed thee light. Okay, now, about the man in the picture. Psalm 87, verse 3. The first Lord says to me, glorious things are spoken of thee. And I stop right there. That's what is said to me. Glorious things are spoken of thee. Now we're going to see things which are spoken of the man in the picture. And in doing so, we will see what the AVB says about him, the man in the picture. Now, there's a question in Matthew 5:47. The question in Matthew 5:47 says this, and I take it, I apply it to me. It, the question asks, what do ye more than others? What do I more than others? In these articles on the man in the picture, we can get an answer to that question. Okay? And so we begin. The man in the above picture on Lawmaster's page. What does the AVB say of him? One thing, and before we do that, let's consider the question that in John 18, I believe, John 18:38, and that question is, what is truth? So I ask, what is the truth about the man in the picture on Lawmaster's page? One, truth about the man in the picture, Psalm 44:21. Psalm 44:21 says this about the man in the picture. He knows the secrets of the heart. Now let's get an understanding of what the heart is in that statement. The heart there in Psalm 44:21 speaks about the heart of the Bible, the heart of the AVB. And I call that heart the crucial matter of the AVB. All right? The man in the picture, the infallible scripture says, he knows the secrets of the heart. He knows the secrets found in, hidden in, the secrets hidden in the AVB, and he reveals them. Okay? In the many episodes of my Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast on the internet, Blog Talk Radio, I reveal secrets of the heart of the AVB. He knows the secrets of the heart. Job 28:11, another infallible thing about the man in the picture. Job 28:11. Says, the thing that is hid brings he forth to light. He reveals hidden things. All right? The thing that is hid brings he forth to light. He knows the secrets of the heart. Another infallible thing about the man in the picture, Job 28:27. I'll read the verse. The scripture says about the man in the picture, Job 28:27. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. What did he search out? What did he prepare? What did he see? And what does he declare? Isaiah 40:3. Let's look at what he was told to do. Isaiah 40:3. The scripture says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that is what I have done. That is what the man in the picture has done. He has prepared the way of the Lord. He saw the Lord's way, and this speaks of the first law, his way in the scriptures, his way in the in setting down the crucial matter of the AVB. The man in the picture saw it. He searched it out, the way of the Lord, that is. He prepared it, and he now declares it. Okay, so Job 28:27 is a little synopsis, a summary of what the man in the picture has done and does do. Okay? Let's move on. Okay. Isaiah 21, verse 6. Isaiah 21, verse 6 says this to the people. Remember the question, what shall we, the people, do? Here's another thing they should do, they are commanded to do. Let him declare what he pleases. That's Isaiah 21, verse 6, the last statement in the verse. Let him, the man in the picture, declare what he sees. And that statement is being fulfilled in your hearing right now. I am declaring what I see. I am declaring things I see in the AVB. Let him do it. Let him declare what he sees. All right. Ecclesiastes 2:19. Let him declare what he sees, Ecclesiastes 2:19. He shall have rule over all my labor. The man in the picture shall have rule over all my labor. Now, what is his labor, and whose labor is it? Who is this my referring to? He, the man in the picture, shall have rule over all my, the first Lord's labor. What is the first Lord's labor? The first Lord's labor is that of the crucial matter of the AVD. And the man in the picture deals with the crucial matter of the AVD, just as Ecclesiastes 2:19 says, he shall have rule over all my labor. Isaiah 12:5. Okay. Isaiah 12:5 says this about the man in the picture. He has done excellent things. He has done excellent things. And here's a thing he has done. Isaiah 22:22. Isaiah 22:22 says of a man in the picture on Lawmaster's page, he shall open and none shall shut. What has he opened, or has the man in the picture opened anything? Okay, Luke 24:32. Luke 24:32. 2 says this: He opened to us the scriptures. All right. Now, in your AZD Bible, there's a question mark after scriptures. He opened to us the scriptures. But that is a thing which the man in the picture has done. So I read it as a declaration. He, the man in the picture, opened to us the scriptures, period. Okay? Because the question asks, what is truth? It is truth that the man in the picture has opened to the people, for the people, the scriptures. Okay? So, Isaiah 22:22, he shall open and none shall shut. He opened to us the scriptures. Isaiah 12:5, he, the man in the picture, has done excellent things. This is all about the life and work. This is about the work of the man in the picture. The scriptures know and show so much about the man in the picture. Okay. Isaiah 40:26. Isaiah 40:26, these words are about the man in the picture. Next to the last statement, he is strong in power. He is strong in power. Isaiah 40:26. Remember, the AZB is a book of power. The First Lord, as I referenced earlier, has rendered the crucial matter of the AZB to the man in the picture. And that crucial matter is powerful. It's about power. Power was given to him. I believe I read that earlier at the beginning of the program. And that is done in the crucial matter of the AVB in the First Lord's rendering of power to the man in the picture. He is strong in power. He is strong having power. This is not in my outline here, but the scripture says power belongeth to God. And the First Lord has handed over all power to the man in the picture. Isaiah 42:21. Isaiah 42:21 says about the man in the picture, he will make the law honorable. The man in the picture has made sense of the law, and in his interpretation of the law has presented the law in an understandable and honorable way and form. Now, Isaiah 42:21, okay, he will make the law honorable, that is done. Jonah 2, verse 2. Jonah 2, verse 2 says this about the man in the picture. Just three words in that verse, almost in the middle of the verse. He heard me. He heard me. The first Lord said to the man in the picture, he heard me. A little simple statement. He heard me. 2 Samuel 22:7. He did hear my voice. He heard me, Jonah 2:2, and he did hear my voice. 2 Samuel 22, verse 7. The man in the picture has heard the voice of the first Lord. And what voice did he hear? He heard the first Lord's voice as it is recorded in the ABC, as it is recorded in the crucial matter, the crucial scriptures of the ABD. He heard me. He did hear my voice. And as a result, Psalm 68:33. He, the man in the picture, does send out his voice. Voice for voice, and that a mighty voice. He doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. The man in the picture sends out his voice to all the people by means of the internet, Blog Talk Radio. Okay? And he also sends it out by means of his book, the book of the law of God, all things that demonstrated the power of God. Mr. Welch, let's have the announcements, please. And
thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/Law of Gods. Again, youtube.com/Law of Gods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my Lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Okay. Now, the last several verses that I put forth speaks of the man in the picture being strong, having power. He opened the scriptures to read, and one reads the matter of the AVP. The crucial matter is in a confused state. It cannot be read line upon line, so one will fail in getting the proper and intended understanding. The man in the picture has removed all obstructions from the crucial matter of the AVB, and that is evident in his many episodes of the Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. It is also evident in his book, The Book of the Law of God, All Things That Demonstrated Power of God. And the First Lord has confirmed that the man in the picture has heard his voice. He did hear my voice, 2 Samuel 22:7. He heard me, Jonah 2:2. Psalm 68:33, the man in the picture sends out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Who is he? Who is the man in the picture? Revelation 13:13. Revelation 13:13 says about the man in the picture, he doeth great wonders. Mm-hmm. And with that, we go to Acts 10, verse 6. Acts 10, 6. Okay, he, the man in the picture, shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. All right, and he told the people what they ought to do, a thing or two what they ought to do earlier in this broadcast. If the Lord be God, follow him. Okay, was one thing that he said. Have faith in God. I did not cite the reference there. I said also the scripture says worship God. I believe I could turn to that one quick here in Revelation. Yes, worship God. That is what the people ought to do. All right, that's Revelation 19, verse 10. Revelation 19, verse 10. The scripture says, worship God. And if the scripture says, worship God, then the law says, worship God. For the AVB is a book of law. Worship the real God, the true God, the one that the Bible endorses, sets forth, upholds, exalts, and praises. All right. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do, and I have been doing that. The man in the picture has been doing that. Acts 8:10. Who is he? Who is this man in the picture? What does the scripture say? Acts 8:10. It says about the man in the picture, this man is the great power of God. This man is the great power having the designation of God. That's the word "of" there means having the designation of. So this man is a great power, having the designation of God. He shall tell thee what thou art to do. He is able to tell thee what thou art to do. Acts 10:6. Okay? So, the man is the great power of God. And Revelation 11:15. Revelation 11:15 says this about the man in the picture. He shall reign forever and ever. He is the great power, having the designation of God, and he as God shall reign forever and ever. He reigns over the nations of the Gentiles. Okay. Psalm 45:11. He is the great power of God. He shall reign forever and ever. Psalm 45:11. Okay. He is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Okay, so the man in the picture is the great power of God. He has authority to tell the people and the Gentiles what they ought to do. He shall reign as God forever and ever. And to the people, it says, he is thy Lord. Worship thou him. Psalm 95:7. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. He is our God. We are the people, are the people of his pasture. And this we, all the people in God's dominion. Okay? All right. He shall reign forever, ever and ever. This man is the great power of God. He doeth great wonders. He is thy Lord. Worship thou him. Psalm 95:7. He is our God. Isaiah 40:9. Behold your God. Look at the man in the picture, and the scripture says, Isaiah 40:9, behold your God. Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19:7 says this about the people and the man in the picture. The scripture says, let us, the people, you, the listener, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Mm-hmm. So, to the people, he is thy Lord, worship thou him. He is our God. Behold your God, the man in the picture. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Psalm 95:2. Psalm 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. Okay. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. And, Mr. West, we're just about to finish up here. I have a few more statements, and that will bring this episode, The Man in the Above Picture, to an end. So let me finish out, and if we're going to stay on, we're going to open up the lines. You can let the people know whatever we're going to do. Okay, these are articles of the man in the picture on Lawmaster's page. To see the man in the picture, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Lawmaster, all one word. And finally, the scriptures, Luke 4:21 and Luke 24:27. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears or in your hearing. He, the man in the picture, expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That is to say, he, the man in the picture, set forth many infallible proofs concerning himself. In this episode, I have presented to you the things, as Luke 24:18 says, which are come to pass in the man in the picture. Isaiah 42:13 says about the man in the picture, he shall prevail against his enemies. Job 1:8 and Job 41:33 says, about the man in the picture, there is none like him in the earth. Upon earth, there is not his like. And those are articles of the man in the picture on Lawmaster's page. Mr. Welch?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir? And we've spoken earlier, but I understand. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm doing quite well this morning. We have approximately 2 minutes, or I should say 1 minute, remaining in the live broadcast, but we can continue. If we have any listeners that would like to call into the show at this point, the number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. We would like for you to join us in dialogue at this time. We have many questions to be answered. If you would like to make a comment or just to echo your sentiments, and we would love to hear your voice at this time. For now, Your Lordship, there are no callers, but I do have a question of my own, if you will.
Yes, sir.
You spoke earlier about the critical matter, and I was hoping that you could expand on that for us at this time. What do you mean when you say critical matter?
Okay. Be glad to, Mr. Welch. When I speak of a critical matter of the AVB and AVB, excuse me, being the Authorized Version Bible, commonly known as the King James Version, critical matter refers to the hidden things in the Bible. There are obvious things, stories, such as the story of Moses taking the people, leading the people out of Egypt, the story about Jonah and the whale, the story about Jesus and his band of men, obvious stories, but there are things that when one reads the Bible, he doesn't see. Things such as the law of the Passover. Well, one can look at my episodes and find the episode with Passover in its title, and he can see that law concerning the Passover, or the law of the curse. One cannot read the Bible, and read and understand the curse, because you cannot read it. It cannot be read line by line. It's the matter making up the curse are the objectives, papal objectives set forth, given to the Gentiles against. I'm on the outside. I have a motorcycle going by. The objectives which were given by the papacy to the Gentiles to carry out against the people of Africa. One cannot read those things line upon line or line by line. It's the content making up that curse or that law. The contents are, if you will, chopped up, scattered about, you know. It's in pieces, and it spans the Bible, you know, those fragments. So crucial matter is fragmentary, all right? And it can go unseen. So that's the matter which I deal with. One passage I brought forth today says he knows, the man in the picture knows the secrets of the heart. Okay, that secret matter is the crucial matter of Bible content. I deal with the crucial, critical matter of Bible content, okay, and bringing forth the hidden things in the Bible. They have been deliberately set and camouflaged, if you will. That's why the reader cannot discern them. The reader cannot get the intended matter. So the Bible is a complex book. You know, the Bible is a very complex book. Its content, its crucial matter is abstruse. It's crucial matter, critical matter, all right? And what I have done in my work is get that crucial matter. I saw it, and as the scripture said today, I searched out the matter of the curse, the matter of the Passover law, the matter of the law of God, etc. I searched those things out. I ordered the content of each particular law or issue that is dealt with, and so I clarify scripture. I clarify the crucial matter of the AVB. I make the crucial matter of the AVB, the hard, abstruse, complex matter of the AVB, understandable. I make it easier to understand. Okay, that's my answer to your question.
Yes, sir.
In regard to the critical or crucial matter of the AVB.
Well, you touched on a lot of things, and I thank you for clearing that up and expanding. I remember as a young child going to church with my mother and of course, family, and remember hearing the minister, the preacher at the pulpit state many a time that the Bible is so simple, a baby can understand. And in light of what we're talking about today, there's a gentleman who is a very logical, clear, thinking gentleman, individual, who brings to light some of the questions that we should not be afraid to bring forth in regard to going to church and with respect to Bible content. And he went about the public and on camera asked a number of people if they've learned anything new going to church. In other words, each going to church every Sunday, can they remember anything new that they've learned as a result of going to church every Sunday? And of all the people that he interviewed, no one could answer that question. And I thought that was profound. Go ahead, sir.
That is very profound because, excuse me, when I was in the church world, I was brought up in the church from a child, as a lot of people, you know, have been. And I noticed as I, you know, got into my teens that, wow, I'm hearing the same thing, you know, over and over. You know, the same thing. And I'm not learning what the Bible teaches. You know, that's what I thought. You know what I'm saying? I'm not learning anymore. I'm just hearing the same thing no matter what minister I hear or listen to. And so I wanted to understand Bible content. And so the time came when I, you could say, dedicated my life to seeking out, searching out, as the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, all things in the Bible. And if I must say so myself, I've been successful in doing that. I have found out many things that I teach I did not know when I was in the church world. None of the things that I teach, none of the things in the many episodes of Law Master's Law of God program, I didn't know any of those things when I was in the church world. Go ahead, Mr. Welch.
Well, I would just say that when I think of the revelation that you bring forth, I think of all of the tens of thousands of men and women, particularly of black women and black men who go through seminary school. And, you know, I'm a college graduate. I have a bachelor's degree in computer science. And I remember the structure of the classes, the courses, virtually. It was like going through boot camp. There was never any time for us to absorb the information and put it together in a unified field, unified theory, so to speak, where you know, you just, you can see the overall picture. They chopped it up, and you know, and then they also added what I call a lot of buffer classes, you know, a lot of filler classes. They call them electives.
Right.
And I noticed that everything is always watered down, whether it be going to school, whether it be the food that we eat today. And we also have to come to grips with the fact that it's the same nature with respect to religion, particularly Christianity as we know it as a people, that it's, like you say, you know, you have to understand, this is my logic. My logic tells me that there's a reason why all of this is taking place in such a manner, and that is because someone is trying to deceive you. Someone doesn't want you to know the full picture.
Absolutely.
And that goes for the revision of the Bible, the King James Version written in 1611, the Vatican, and really and truth, that's where it all began.
Right. The objective of religion is to deceive the people, okay, and especially the ignorant and the unlearned. Now, let me clarify that statement. The objective of the Gentiles' religion, Christianity, whatever one wants to call it, Catholicism, Christianity, they're both the same. The objective of religion is to deceive the people. Now, the Bible does not deceive people. The Bible just has content, you know, it just has information in it. One can read the information, and if he does not understand it, it doesn't mean that the Bible is deceiving him, okay? It means that he just is not understanding what he reads. The Bible asks the question, Do you understand what you are reading? You know what I'm saying? And it says, it also says, be not deceived. It asks that question, do you understand what you're reading? And it also says, do not be deceived. Now, we are deceived by ministers, those who are supposed to be teaching Bible content, like when you go to church, Bible study. And, of course, they're on radio, they're on blog talk, they're on the Internet, they're everywhere. But that's the purpose of religion. Now, religion, there's a difference between religion and law. In religion, religion disregards the law in the Bible. It has a total disregard for the law in the Bible. And on the other hand, the Bible, a law book, puts down religion. It says about the papacy's religion, Catholicism or Christianity, whichever one wants to call it, it says this man's religion is vain. The papacy's religion is vain, you know, worthless, useless. And as I said, its purpose is to deceive. That's religion.
And it would be easy to deceive because the one thing that is missing is the context. You speak of Bible content, but also I believe that the reason why deception is so pervasive and it's working is because the masses do not have proper context. And I noticed that going through school, I noticed that in our daily lives, I notice it, and I'm beginning to notice it in this thing called religion, that the reason why it works so well is because people are confused and they have no idea the context of that which they so-called are following. And if you do not have context, you do not have a direction, you have no vision, you're basically in the dark, if you will.
Yes.
And
yes.
when you attempt to bring context to the subject, then it's confusing to people because we live our whole lives, particularly Black people, we've spent our entire existence, and I'm not talking about since we've been on the planet. All I'm saying is in the past 500 years, our lives have largely been without proper context, which is why we are in the condition that we are in. And there's another point I would like to make with that regard, and that's why you have so many of us searching out our own context. Now, you have these evangelists, these millionaire evangelists, and they've found a particular context of looking at Bible content from a perspective of money and prosperity. Is that the correct context? No, it is not. The proper context is you're bringing the proper context, and that's what people have to acknowledge, in my opinion. Because you bring the proper context historically, you're saying that the Bible is a history book, and it is talking about things that have happened in the past and things that are happening right now. But the context that you bring is that the Bible is a legal document; it's a law book, a book of laws from the Pope, the papacy, for Gentiles. And that is the proper context at this time. Nothing else.
That is so true. That is so true. We as a Black people, let me speak to this point about us as a Black people. We can no longer blame the Gentiles for deceiving us. Yes, they have. Yes, the Gentiles have deceived us. They deceived us with regard to Scripture when they made us slaves, okay? They dumbed us down, took all our knowledge away,
as they did everything else that we had before the Gentile conquest of Africa. And they told us all lies about the Bible. And they told us this big lie about Jesus, that he is our Savior. He, of course, he was put to death. He rose again, ascended into heaven, and he's going to come back one day and save us all who believe in him, and so forth and so forth. A big lie. Why is it a lie? It's a lie because the character Jesus in the Bible is a fictitious character. Now, the story about Jesus teaches morals, you know what I'm saying? There are morals that if you break the law, you know what I'm saying, then you are responsible and you will be held accountable. That's the story that the story of Jesus tells in the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you break the law, you will be held accountable and you'll have to give answer to someone if you're caught. Okay? Jesus broke the law, he and his band of men. They were eventually caught, and they were eventually, you know, Jesus himself was eventually put to death by crucifixion. But the story is a concoction, it's a made-up story. It is a fable, you know, that teaches a moral. And we are now 145 or 146 years on the other side of enslavement now. We've been reading for many, many years now. And so we have to take some, we have to bear the blame. We have to bear the fault. You know, the fault lies within us. There's a statement in the Bible where the paper says to me, "Thy people are at fault." You know, what have we faulted in? Faulted in reading the Bible, not for what the Bible says, but what we were told about it from the Gentiles. And so, go ahead.
Oh, I did not mean to cut you off, sir. Go right ahead and finish your thought.
Okay, so we say we can read. I say I can read. I can read now. So I've read Bible. I've studied it. I've analyzed its content, and I've come up with these things. And these are infallible truths that I teach. No one can successfully refute anything that I teach. It's Bible founded, so and Bible based and everything. And as I said earlier, I clarify the scriptures. I clarify each and every issue, as it says in the Book of Psalms about the man in the picture. He knows the secrets of the heart. That means you can trust him to give you right information. And so we should, as a black people, be able to hear truth and look at it and say, wow, as I've said, this is what the Bible really teaches, you know. And it's easy to see that the Bible is a law book because it has commandments all the way through it, from Genesis through Revelation, command, 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 command. Some of the commandments are hidden and camouflaged, but they're still commandments. You know, if you say it, you know, if you see it, you can say it's clear that this is a commandment, and it's evident in my teachings, even in some of the things that I brought forth, many of the things that I brought forth today. And I say this is a commandment, you know. So we have to bear the fault, and we can come from under the deception only by one means, and that is by means of the truth, hearing the truth, accepting the truth, believing the truth, leaning, relying on the truth. And we don't have to wait till the Gentiles say something about my information. Oftentimes we as a people wait on the Gentiles and we follow the Gentiles. Well, the Bible says follow God. You know what I'm saying? Follow God. God is the truth bringer according to Scripture. And God is not something up in the sky somewhere, but God is somebody here in human flesh and form who studies Scripture and brings forth truth as the Bible says about him. Okay? And God is known by his truth, by his word. And God is described
throughout Bible content, and I brought forth many of those descriptions of God today in the broadcast, Mr. Welch.
Well, I can go in several directions with what you just stated, but I think I'll start out here and say that you touched upon something that's very key, and that is the fact that we as a people, we can read now.
Yes.
And though we can read, our people do not like to read, and our people do not read enough. And I know we were speaking one day, and we were talking about Malcolm X when he said, if you want to hide something from a, you know what, put it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tragedy that our people cannot take the time to sit in a quiet space and open up a book and receive information rather than just going and hearing the word, you know, the scripture from someone every Sunday and receiving, as they say, the word. And another thing I want to say is our people do not realize that they do not have to serve this God any longer, that a new God is arrived. And our people are the first to say that they know God is alive, that God is a living God. But is it really commensurate? Is that saying really commensurate with their actions? And that's questionable. And I think we can have the answer very easily. And so therefore, what I'm saying is that to our people, you know, if you're out there listening, you do not have to follow this God any longer. You do not have to follow this old God any longer. But you have to know who the old God is and who the new God is. And it goes back to the ministers, the preachers out there who are graduates of the seminary. You have to come to grips with the fact that you've been deceived and that you are preaching deception in the pulpit. And
right.
But I would say that you are not to blame. I would say that we must always place the blame, the focus, the blame on who is responsible, and those who are most responsible are the Gentiles. We're talking about the popes, the papacy, and their followers, the Gentiles. Now there is much blame to go around, but those who are most to blame are the popes, the papacy, and the Gentiles. So
right.
come out of this now. And we know that the Gentiles are followers of laws. They are law-abiding people, so long as they're the ones who create those laws. And really, are they laws? That's the question. Are they really creating laws? And if they are, what are these laws for? I would like to say that the Gentiles are not creating laws that you and I no longer have to abide by. The Gentiles only create what is legal. And when you're talking about something that is legal, it could be anything that they feel is correct, but it could be the most incorrect thing in the universe. And so, therefore, just because it's a law does not mean that you and I have to follow what they deem is legal. There's a big difference between law and legal. So, Your Lordship, I turn it back over to you.
Okay. You have stated well that which you stated. The deception of black people and other people of color originated with the papacy and the Gentiles. Yes, they are highly responsible. And just let me say this. You spoke about a law can be good, a law can be bad, a law could be right, or a law could be wrong. Look at the law of a curse. That was a law. But was it a righteous law? Was it a righteous law? That's all I can say as of it. No, it wasn't. It was an unrighteous law, and it and by it, people did unrighteous things to people, as the slave masters and the Gentiles did to blacks when they were slaves. And also, the oppressing of black people, even beyond the enslavement era, after emancipation, oppression of black people still exists and persists. And that must be brought to an end. And what addresses that problem? The law of God addresses that problem. A remedy created by the Gentiles, by the papacy, the law of God is a remedy. Okay? And let me say this too. I don't advise people, anyone, to read the Bible, because as I said earlier, the Bible, its content is abstruse. It's very difficult. It's esoteric. And the word esoteric means beyond the understanding or knowledge of the uninitiated. So you can read the Bible, but just because you read it doesn't mean, even if you look for understanding, doesn't mean that you're going to get it. There's nothing wrong with hearing truth from someone and accepting that truth, following that truth. The Bible addresses that in the book of Acts. The Ethiopian eunuch is reading in the Bible, and he is asked the question, do you understand what you read? And he says, the answer to the question is, how can I accept some man show me? Now, we can get bad directions from men. We can get good directions. God offers good direction, and the Bible validates his direction, okay? Validated by the Bible, all right? So there's nothing wrong with hearing truth, because the Bible says what? Faith comes by hearing. It didn't say it comes by reading. And it's speaking of the proper faith, the, let's say, right faith, okay? It comes by hearing, because the average person is not going to find that truth of Bible content by reading on his own. He needs help. And God is here to help. And the many episodes of Law Master's Law of God broadcast provide that service of giving aid to those who need help and understanding Bible and getting good instruction and direction. Mr. Welch.
Your Excellency, you know, we talk about fairy tales in depth last week, and what you just talked about brought that back up in my mind of how, as children, we are taught these different fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And what we don't realize is that these fairy tales have been revised. The earliest of these so-called fairy tales from the Gentiles, we have to understand these are not our stories, but yet we all have been programmed with them. And we all know about the cartoons and the various Disney movies, mm-hmm. Cartoon movies,
right,
and whatnot. All of us have been programmed with all of those fairy tales, European fairy tales, but we haven't been taught the original rendition of these fairy tales. They are extremely violent. And
okay,
I won't get off into them right now. I would just say that they have been revised up in time. They've been cleaned up. and they've been claimed by the Gentiles for us, because if they were to, if you were to know the original fairy tales, you would be horrified. And I'm saying to the listeners out there that you can see a continuation of these fairy tales through some of the movies out there. The slasher movies like Jason, Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, and Halloween. All of these very violent movies are a continuation of these so-called fairy tales. These are 20th and 21st century fairy tales. And why do I mention this? Well, let's talk about this Jesus character. Many people, and this is beyond Christians, this is anyone on the planet, I talk to many people. I talk to many people in my family who are Christians, and I ask them all the time, I say, have you ever heard of a character by the name of Serapis? And the first expression on their face is, who? They ask the question, who? And I talk about, well, do you know about the ecumenical conference that was held in in 325 AD with Emperor Constantine and 300 Catholic bishops? And and they have no idea what I'm talking about. So when I spend the time to teach them about how this Serapis character came about and what he evolved into, it's almost as though cognitive dissonance immediately sets in. Like, they cannot process that because they're so programmed. It doesn't. What it does is it erodes the. They won't allow themselves to let their mind, the critical thinking process is so atrophied at this point in time, and I'm trying to be nice with a lot of these individuals too, till it just goes right over their head. And the ones who do know, when their critical thinking begins to kick in, you should see the reaction. It's almost as though you're trying to exercise a demon that, you know, they're possessed. The first they get hostile, and they want to reject what you state immediately, and the anger comes up, and that's usually the first step. That anger is usually the first emotion. After the shock sets in, the anger sets in, and then depression sets in, and then afterwards, if the person wants to continue, then they come out on the other side, a new person. But our people are literally possessed with fairy tales, and I mean some very violent fairy tales. And the other thing I want to mention is we have to realize that Gentiles have hidden much from us, and they still hide very much from us. They hide from us our history. They hide from us very pertinent information today for us to be able to function in a normal society. These people hide everything. That's why they are able to deceive us, and we don't even know we're being deceived. I'll give you an example. But I've known this for a long time, but this verified for me that Gentiles hide information from us. Speaking to one of the senior executives at the company that I work for, and he was telling me about how his father built the company. And then I'd say around the mid-90s, another company stepped in and bought the company that his father and his partner created. And then, of course, this company that had bought his father's company already owned several other companies. Well, Then there's another layer. There's a company that came in and bought that company, and it owns several tens of hundreds of countries, not countries, pardon me, companies. And it goes on and on and on up into this conglomerate pyramid. And when you start to go up the pyramid, all of these companies are traded on the stock market, many of them. But he told me that the company that owns all of the companies is not publicly traded. In fact, you would never know the names of the people who owned all of these companies. And so I traced the company, and I think that what we don't realize is even here in the United States, in this part of the world called the United States where we reside, all of the companies that are here in the United States are owned by other companies, and all of these companies go back to Europe, most likely to Great Britain. And these people, you will never know who these people are, and these people mold and shape your everyday existence. Whether it pertains to your economics, your education, everything of which you see on television, the media, everything is controlled by these hidden people, these hidden forces. You know, so I'm saying this. People want to talk about secret societies and whatnot. That's fine. You want to call it the Illuminati. That's fine. But I know firsthand that even if you didn't have this so-called trilateral CFR Illuminati secret societies, there's still a lot of hidden activity that's going on outside of our realm of normal everyday action, and these people control everything that we do. So if that is the case, then you have to come to grips with the fact that they control what you believe when it pertains to religion, Christianity, Islam, Judaism. All of that has been controlled for you. And that's the point I would like to make. Back to you, sir.
Okay. Fine point. I agree with what you're saying, the essence of what you're saying, you know, because it's just from Bible content, we know that the Gentiles hide things, you know, from the things that I bring forth from Bible. We know that they hide things. So that's a characteristic of theirs, I guess. They are a secret people, a secret operating people. They operate secretly. But the wonderful thing about us now in this one regard is that we can, the light has been shined, the light has shone on their secrecy with regard to hiding Bible matter or issues, certain issues in the Bible, that those issues have been brought forth, manifested, and that we can change. These are life-changing issues and things which I bring forth. They are life-changing. I know one person wrote me a letter about a year or so ago and said, you know, they were thanking me for, as they said, this life-changing information. And that's what the law of God is for. Its object is to bring forth a change, and a change for the better, a change for the good. As the scripture says, God having provided some better thing for us. And the glory of this better thing is that it brings us out of our deceptive state. And the Bible says you shall know the truth. It's quoted so much, but it's a true statement. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, free from what? Free from deception. Okay, free from confusion with regard to life, your belief, because that's so important. Your belief is so important because your belief affects what you do. And so I'm just all for the law of God because of its potential. Its potential. You have, it sets forth a leader, and to tell the truth and to be frank, leader in this instance, in this case, is a black person, one of our own, who has no hidden agenda, but can come forth and share the truth as it is. You know, and I'm just excited about that, and I'm so glad to have people like you, Mr. Welch, working with me, people who think and use their mind. You know, we all think in some form or fashion because we hold on jobs, this and that, and all like that. But I'm talking about think and what you were talking about earlier, critical thinking, able to hear, follow along as I read from the book of the law, and conclude that, hey, this is right. I'm getting understanding of the Bible, something I have never gotten from anyone else. I am getting understanding, and that comes with a cost. Now, it comes with a cost, because in doing so, one should give his or her allegiance to the force that has brought about the truth, and that force the Bible calls God. And I'm just excited for that. I'm excited for it. Go ahead.
And I would just say that I'm extremely excited, which is why I've signed on board to help you, Mr. Hart. I think that this is the critical matter for our people, that we have to break the chain, the chains that are around our mind right now. Open up and think critically. Throw down. You have to question your reality, and I say that all the time. In the words of Dr. Francis Crisp Wellesley, the highest. Self-respect is the highest form of spirituality. And that is, we have to question the fact that what we follow is because it was taught to us by our parents, and they followed it because it was taught to them by their parents, and so on and so forth. And then you have to, I'm really speaking to all of those who are behind the pulpit, who call or who listen to the show, probably for material that they can use for when they step behind the pulpit next Sunday. I would say this: it is fine if you are going to teach the people that you're speaking to what is correct, okay, and not use bits and pieces of this broadcast to make yourself sound more plausible, but yet you're still people. You're not effectively edifying our people with what they need to hear today. They don't need an admixture of the truth along with what you're continuing to teach them. They don't need that, and we understand that you have to. You know, if you go completely radical, what would be termed radical, that you would probably lose your congregation overnight. Well, I would say this: what's more important in this day for your people? Do you want your people free from the confusion, free from the mental bondage that they're still locked up in these past 400 or 500 years? Do you want your people to follow reach the fullest potential that belongs to them, and not this continuing in the mindset that has been controlled for them, this controlled reality, this false reality. It is not our reality, and our people are suffering. So what's more important? Is this word more important, or is the passing of the money pan, is that most important? Mm-hmm. Is being known as the person who has the word of God, is that most important to you? Being famous, is that most important to you? What is it that is more important than seeing to it that almost a billion people on the planet, and I'm talking about us here in the United States, especially the African continent, is what you're doing more important than seeing to it that a people who are the first people on the planet are truly free in the sense that we control our own destination, and not afraid to walk away and walk away from this way of living that has crippled us. And you have to understand that we need thorough healing in our communities, in our areas of living. We need a thorough healing. We don't want a Band-Aid on every Sunday. We need a thorough healing of the mind and of the spirit. And we call upon you out there to really consider what you are continuing to do and make a decision. Now you know this information, you have to make a decision on whether you want to continue deceiving your people, or do you want to take this information and teach them what you know now is correct. And I'll leave it at that.
That's a very good, lucid, clear point, and I can't add to it. I know I can say it happened in my life. I lost the congregation that I had once. You know what I'm saying? As I began to get into truth and discover these things, different things and all like that. But truth was more important to me as I learned it. I didn't learn it all at one time, but it's been a thing in process, you know. But I accepted each truth as I, you know, understood it. And I still today teach the people. I may not have a building where I can go to and teach, but I do have, I'm so glad for Blog Talk Radio. And so I continue to teach and in hopes that the people will hear, will receive the truth and be turned away from their deception. It's a bad thing to be deceived. It's a bad thing to be characterized as a deceived people, not just a deceived person, but a deceived race. That's not good at all. The things that you hear in religion may sound good. You live forever. After you die, you don't really die, but your spirit lives on and this and that. The Bible clearly says in the book of Job, if a man dies, shall he live again. And this is all man knows right now. It gives an answer in the same chapter. It says about a man when he dies. It says, he lies down and rises not. So, there's the teaching in religion about the resurrection of the dead. Body's going to be raised to life again, this and that, and all like that. All deceptive teaching. Truth is better than deception, just as light is better than darkness. Okay? Truth is better than deception. And Mr. Welch, I think it's been a good conversation, and I hope the people will hear, you know, what you had to say, you know. The ministers you address, I hope they will hear. And not only hear, call in, connect with us, join with us, because I doubt if anyone will receive this information truly, truly, and with a good heart, and will not contact us in any way. I doubt that. I doubt that. I think if anyone receives the information, stands on the information, I think that person has the strength to call in and say, hey, I'm with you, you know, I'm with you, you know. What do you want me to do? What can I do? You know, the Gentiles always have had a leader, have a leader in the Pope. That's why they call him Holy Father. That's their leader. That's their supreme leader. What about black people? You know, you can have a leader in God, a supreme leader. One, as I said, that the Bible endorses, exalts, upholds, supports everything, the whole nine yards. You know, Mr. Welch, go ahead, please. If you have anything else.
Well, just real quick, I think we have about 10 more minutes left in the end of after show archives broadcast.
Okay.
But I would say that, you know, step out of your fear. That is the only thing that's holding us back. And really, as Mr. Hart states, when you talk about the Holy Ghost, or I'm sorry, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, mm-hmm. and the Holy Ghost, and how mm-hmm. you have explained to us so eloquently that the Holy Ghost is really an emotion, and that emotion mm-hmm. is fear. And that is what the Gentiles have used against
yeah.
us to keep us in line throughout our enslavement era, and it's still going on today. People,
right.
you have to understand that that is really what is keeping you from using your critical thinking, is that you are afraid. And I would say that do not be afraid. Join us with getting this information out. Step away from what you've been taught, what you've been told, and call in with your questions, your comments. If you disagree, we want to hear why you disagree. Doesn't matter. And also, as we stated, you know, the Gentile hides everything. They will. And do not expect them to change. We have to do the changing. We have to change ourselves. And I would leave with this, that this is my favorite saying. Lying to self is the highest form of disrespect and insanity.
Okay.
And you really have to talk to yourself and say, hey, I do not want to lie to myself. That's crazy. You can expect other people to tell lies to you, but when you lie to yourself, that is oh so disrespectful. And to yourself, it really means that you do not hold yourself in high regard, that you will allow to continue down a path that you know is either self-destructive or leading to nowhere. Your questions are not really being answered. You're just being told the same thing over and over and over again. You feel bad, but you think that because this is what you've been told all your life, that this is, you know, your fear kicks in and it's telling you, well, it's got to be this way because everybody else thinks this way. And you have to be able to ditch all of that and say, no, I want to know the truth, and
mm-hmm.
I'm going to do whatever it takes. If I need to blast out everything that I've been taught in the past, which I believe we should do, I think that as people,
mm-hmm.
we need to question everything that we've been told. And I mean
mm-hmm.
everything. And we should question everything that the Gentiles do today.
Mm-hmm.
Should not, you know, when we turn on the news and we're listening to them, you know, yap and their mouths are going a mile a minute, we shouldn't
mm-hmm.
believe a thing that comes out of their mouth ever. I don't care. Question
mm-hmm.
everything that they say and do. And,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't, it's because you're still locked in fear. You're, you know, they're the authority, but I'm here to tell you that there's a new authority on the planet today, and we need to stand up and say, look, you are obsolete. Your laws, they're obsolete. We have new laws, and you have to abide by these laws, and if you don't, you are in violation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I can't add anything else to that, Mr. Welch. You said it so eloquently, so rightfully.
Well, I would tell the people to continue to tune in and get the word from Mr. Hart. You are the one that is in our midst today. You know, people, I'm not talking about, you know, being a follower. We're not talking about creating a cult. All we're trying to say is use your critical thinking. We need critical thinkers today. We don't need, you know, feel-good sermons no more. We need to get to work and turn around our situation, and nobody's going to do it for us but us. And so I would say, you know, for the people, continue listening to the show. Continue to tune in to the broadcast, the Lawmaster broadcast. Go to the website, pick up the manuscript, the book of the law of God, all things, the demonstrated power of God. Look through it, scan it, come up with questions, call in. If you don't understand anything, we're here. Mr. Hart is here. He knows his stuff. So come up with your hardest questions and call in with him. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We're not saying that you have to believe this. Just call in and with your concerns. What do you have a question about? Challenge Mr. Hart. Go to lawmaster.co. Again, lawmaster.co. You will find videos, manuscript, other things, free books, etc. You can also go to youtube.com. I interview Mr. Hart many a time, and we break down in detail much of the what he has uncovered and placed in the book of the law of God, the book of the law of God, all things to demonstrate the power of God. So there's going to be information out there, no matter what, on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/law of God. Follow Mr. Hart on Twitter. Tommy L. Hart. Also, go to Facebook. I post things there periodically. Mr. Hart does. And if you would like to start a discussion on the Facebook page, the Book of the Law of God, go there. Use it. It's your tool. And you know, don't forget to call into the show. We want to hear from you. Hey, Mr. Hart.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just say to the people, take heed to the things that you, Mr. Welch, have just said as far as the tools that we have available. They are for you. Call into the program again, as he said, and work the things that we have, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, the website. Work them. Work them. Connect with us. Connect with us. And let us move forward.
Yes. Well, I just want to say thank you, sir, for another wonderful and enlightening broadcast. I feel as though I've learned something new, and that's quite it's not the norm that you can actually say that you came out of a sermon and learn something brand new that was life-changing or perspective-changing. So, therefore,